Our democracy is hanging by a thread, but we know it's not about just winning and losing each battle. It's about persistence and building resilience.
That's why we're launching the Practivist Pod, the practice of activism made practical.
If you're looking for ways to get engaged or just for ways to stay sane, we want to help you navigate what comes next.
It's an exciting collaboration with political dynamo Jess Craven, author of the Chop Wood, Carry Water newsletter,
and grassroots activist Steve Pearson, host of the How We Win podcast.
Every week on the Practivist Pod, we're going to have important conversations with changemakers, give you practical ways to make an impact, have some fun, and inspire hope.
This is more than a podcast. It's a place for our community to grow our practice of advocacy for justice, equity, and progress.
Action is the best antidote for anxiety. So subscribe to the Practivist Pod today.
Congress has still not acted to lower health insurance costs for next year. Two competing bills failed in the Senate, and now it's the U.S. House's turn. Margarita from Healthcare for America Now explains what's happening in Congress and how it affects our healthcare. Welcome to Care Talk Live, where we talk about how healthcare works or doesn't work in America and get you answers. I'm Laura Packard, cancer survivor and healthcare advocate, here to help you. Please text or call in your health insurance and healthcare questions at 202-838-6837, and our experts will answer them in future episodes. Be sure to subscribe to my channel or podcast wherever you get your podcasts to get future Care Talk shows. In today's episode, we're talking about what Congress did or didn't do on healthcare last week, what's next, and how it'll affect you next year. So welcome, Margarita, the Executive Director of Healthcare for America Now, otherwise known as HCAN.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back to the show. So let's start with bring us up to date on what happened last week. There were some bills, some votes, and it all failed.
It all failed. So today, of course, is December 15th. So today, in a lot of places, is the last day for people to sign up for ACA Marketplace coverage if you want to have coverage starting January 1st. I will be doing that after this call. So last week in the Senate, one step further back than that, remember that the deal to reopen government included this one provision that Majority Leader Thune in the Senate made to get Democrats to agree to reopen the government. And that was that there would be a vote on extending the ACA premium tax credits that 20 million people depend on for affordable coverage. So that vote did happen. He did follow through on that. Unfortunately, there was not a bipartisan bill for the members to vote on. So this gridlock continues where sort of Democrats are pushing to extend the premium tax credit so that people can get their coverage without delay, because there's not a lot of time. As I said, today's the last day to sign up. There's not a lot of time for people to wait around. It's very difficult to make a choice. So there were two votes. One was a Democratic bill. One was the Democratic bill was a pretty simple bill. It just would have extended the premium tax credits for another 3 years. That's it. Nothing else. The Republicans put up an alternative bill that didn't have any extension for the premium tax credits. Instead, it had a bunch of other stuff in it. There wasn't even really very good stuff. It was things like health savings accounts and, you know, some changes that would have made even changes to Medicaid. So a bunch of random things, some things that didn't make it into their One Big Beautiful Bill Act, and other provisions that would have limited access for more people. Both bills failed. Actually, for the Democratic bill, four Republicans crossed over and voted with the Democrats. But in the Senate, you need 60 votes. Neither bill got 60 votes. So now the debate shifts over to the House. It's the House's turn to come up with something to see if we can get any closer. Now, I'll tell you that the timeline is running out here, right? The Senate has a couple more things left to do before they leave town for the holidays. The big thing that they have to do is the big defense bill, the NDAA. They're going to spend most of this week on that. That's already passed the House. And then they're going to do some confirmations, nominations. And then that's it. Thursday night, they're out of here. So this delay and the fact that, you know, these members have really procrastinated is a real challenge, because it means that there's almost no way that we can get to a resolution on this before the end of the year, which is critical, of course, because the premium tax credits expire at the end of the year. So action has to be taken in order to prevent any gap in coverage for people, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Now, it would be helpful if the House voted on an extension, because that means we would start early next year having moved at least halfway in the direction that we needed to move in order to get some resolution. And then, right, these guys write laws, so they could do something retroactive to minimize the harm. But the vote that's shaping up in the House is not looking super encouraging, to be completely honest. And as everybody knows, the Republicans control the majority. So it's really up to them. Democrats are trying to force a vote on the Affordable Care Act tax credits with a mechanism called a discharge petition. Basically, if they're able to get 218 members of the House signed onto the discharge petition, then they could force a vote on the ACA premium tax credits. Now, that's just forcing a vote. That doesn't mean they would win the vote. They would actually have to get 218 votes to win, to pass the bill forward. And then that means there would be a bill in the House, but we'd still have to do the Senate part of it when the members get back after January 5th. But the majority leader, Speaker Johnson, is not – the fact that the Democrats have to employ this mechanism to force a vote should tell us something. He doesn't want to vote on the ACA tax credits. And in fact, they're getting ready for a vote on health care this week on another bill called the Lower Health Care Premiums for All Americans Act. Mouthful, which is supposed to lower healthcare costs, but it actually doesn't include any extension for the premium tax credit. So it wouldn't do anything to address the crisis at hand, the 20 million people that need their ACA tax credits and the 4 million people that are going to lose coverage if nothing is done. So they're voting on this bill that's kind of a mishmash on a whole bunch of different things, but they're not things that would lower healthcare costs for people. And it's a bill that would do nothing in the short term to address the situation that people are in. So it's really an ironic situation. It's almost like the members would rather do nothing, really, than negotiate a bipartisan deal. So it's remarkable to be at a point where all these people are about to lose their coverage, and the Republicans put forth a bill that doesn't even have a basic ACA tax credit extension in the bill, when that's really the thing that has precipitated this crisis to begin with.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty shocking, because this is going to affect people around the country. I personally am looking at a 21% increase in my premiums, but mm-hmm. it's having repercussions, not just for people on the Affordable Care Act, but I have friends with employer insurance that's going through the roof. Medicare's increasing their premiums. That when you cut one part of the healthcare system, everybody else, you know, raises prices to compensate for that missing money. And so when you cut healthcare, everybody's going to feel the pain. And yep. we haven't even gotten to the $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid yet. Those haven't even taken effect. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, what's it going to take to get Congress to do something to help their own constituents?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, it's also super ironic that in terms of the Affordable Care Act, there's actually more people in Republican states that are enrolled in the Affordable Care Act than in the blue states, right? And that's because, of course, many of the Republican states that have still to expand Medicaid are Republican states, right? I mean, just the state of Florida alone. You know, if you put Florida and Texas together, that's like half the uninsured people in the country remaining are in those states. Those are two states that did not expand Medicaid. So the Affordable Care Act has been the main source of coverage for uninsured people in that state. And the improvements that were made to the Affordable Care Act in the Biden era really opened up health care to people in those states that previously didn't have access to employer-sponsored care, didn't have access to ACA, didn't have access to Medicaid. They didn't have anything. Over the last couple of years, they've been able to get insurance thanks to these changes. I think what it's going to take, honestly, is constituents continuing to raise hell with their members of Congress. There is a little bit, I have seen sort of a little bit of antiquated thinking about the Affordable Care Act. And I think there are, some Republican members of Congress that actually don't realize the extent to which the Affordable Care Act is going to impact their constituents. And folks out there might be thinking, well, what do you mean? Like, they're members of Congress, like, isn't it their job to know? Yes, it is their job to know. But once you've spent a little bit of time lobbying in Congress, you will soon come to understand that there are many things that you would expect members of Congress to know that they really don't know, right? And that's not just on the Affordable Care Act. It's on Medicaid. It's on Medicare, lots of these healthcare issues. So I think the most important thing is that people can't give up, and they have to keep demanding that their members of Congress take action. In going home for the holidays, members of Congress that are going home for the holidays, if all they have to offer their constituents is inaction, then the constituents should have considerably more to offer in return. And that is a lot of ire and, anger about the fact that members of Congress literally for 6 months have seen this deadline coming. It's been an active conversation in Washington. And instead of getting in front of it and doing something about it, getting past their politics to make sure people can have access to healthcare, they just keep doubling down on this old school grudge that they have against Obamacare. Listen, their constituents are over it. There's very broad support for the Affordable Care Act. There's like 70% support for premium tax credits to afford coverage. If Republicans are not going to extend the premium tax credits because of their own biases and their own ideology, they better come up with something better. And I am not talking about health savings accounts. I'm talking about a serious plan to stop the insurance companies from price gouging people, because that is what's happening. Instead of that, the Republicans have given huge tax breaks to insurance companies, huge tax breaks to prescription drug companies. They are actually rewarding the same companies that turned right around and hiked premiums, not just for ACA coverage, but as you were saying, Laura, for employer-sponsored coverage and for a lot of Medicare coverage. And the reality is, that should be no shock, because this industry, the health insurance industry, is highly monopolized, right? There's only five big insurers. Of course, if United Healthcare is going to hike premiums in the ACA marketplace, they're absolutely going to do as much of that as they can in employer-sponsored coverage, in Medicare Advantage plans across the board, because at the end of the day, they are driven by profit, right? And so we have to really make it unacceptable for Republicans and Democrats, for that matter, to not have a plan that actually does something to stop this relentless price gouging in the interest of profit and really at the expense of people's health.
Mm-hmm. And so for the people watching right now, especially if they're trying to figure it out, if they can even afford health insurance next year, what can or should they be doing about this?
They should call their member of Congress, because these guys are still here at work. They can call the congressional switchboard, ask for their member of Congress. If you don't know who your member of Congress is, put in your zip code. They'll connect you to your member and tell your member of Congress. It is unacceptable. Do not come home having done nothing about healthcare premiums, because literally millions upon millions of people are going to suffer the economic and health consequences of congressional inaction. And right now, there's a set of members of Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, that are really, really worried. The Republicans that are really worried are predictably Republicans that are in swing districts that are really worried that their constituents are going to figure out that, they didn't do the thing that they needed to do, and that there's going to be consequences in the 2026 election. The reality is, people, members of Congress, or in my experience working on healthcare and other issues in Congress, there's only really one thing that can move members of Congress. And generally that one thing is fear. They should be more afraid of their constituents than they are of their party leadership, than they are of their donors, because at the end of the day, it's constituents. You still have to get, it's just math. You still have to get enough constituents to vote for you to be a member of Congress. So people shouldn't give up, because we still have a lot of power and a lot of leverage, but members really need to hear from their constituents. And this is a difficult time because it's the end of the year, it's the holidays, it's this, that, and the other. Yes, it's the end of the year, but now really is the time. And don't feel like you can only call once. You can call more than once, and we should call many times, and you should get all your friends to call, and you should get like all the people at your holiday party to call and tell your members of Congress they need to take action to extend the premium tax credits. And they need to do a hell of a lot more to lower healthcare costs in America, especially given the state of the economy today.
Well, thank you so much, Margarita, for joining us today. And everyone, you have your action items.
There you go. Merry Christmas.
So next, we're going to have our experts answer your health insurance questions. Welcome to Louise Norris, the Health Insurance and Healthcare Reform Analyst at healthinsurance.org, and Diane Archer, the founder of Just Care USA and Senior Advisor on Medicare to Social Security Works. So let's start with, it is the end of open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act for some people. Four plans starting January 1st. So tell us, Louise, what do people need to know and do to get covered?
Yes, absolutely. So we're recording this on December 15th. December 15th is actually the end of open enrollment if you are in Idaho. So if you are in Idaho, today is the deadline. You cannot enroll after today without a special enrollment period. So meaning you need a qualifying event. So if you still need coverage and you haven't picked your plan for 2026 and you're in Idaho, you have to get it done today, December 15th. In most of the country, today is just the deadline to get a policy that starts January 1st. But open enrollment in the rest of the country continues until at least January 15th, even later in some states. So you can still sign up after today if you're out, if you're assuming you're not in Idaho, but your coverage won't take effect until February instead of January. There are some exceptions. Massachusetts gives you until December 23rd to sign up for a plan with a January 1 effective date. And then California, Maryland, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, Rhode Island, and Virginia will let you sign up as late as December 31st and still get a January 1 effective date. So if you're in one of those states, you do still have a little bit of wiggle room. Anywhere else in the country, you need to make a plan selection by December 15th to have your coverage start January 1. As Margarita talked about in the first part of the show, we really don't know what's going to happen with the ACA subsidy enhancements. It's possible that it does look unlikely at this point that anything will be resolved in Congress before the end of December, but it's still possible this debate could be ongoing in January, February, with new subsidy rules put in place after the fact. So unlike most years where you pick a plan and then you can just sort of forget about it, you really do still need to pay attention this year, because if you pick a plan and then Congress ends up doing something later on, which could even possibly be after the start of the year, you might then want to switch to a different plan. Like I said, open enrollment does go till January 15th. In every state except Idaho, and it goes all the way to the end of January in a few states. And if they were to do something later in 2026, they would likely open a special enrollment period at that point. So it really just, the message right now is pick a plan if you haven't yet, and then stay tuned. Just keep paying attention to see if anything changes at the congressional level. If you're going in and looking in the marketplace today, the premiums you're seeing are without those federal subsidy enhancements. You're just seeing the base subsidies that will continue to exist in 2026, even if Congress does nothing. So again, it's possible later on they might enhance those subsidies again, or they might not, in which case what you see today is what you'll get in 2026.
Thank you, Louise. And it's good to know in Virginia, I have a little bit more time than midnight today. So next, we have a question from Joe from Colorado, who wants to know, how can you waive a Medicare Part D late enrollment penalty when the late enrollee just didn't know that they had to enroll to prevent this from happening? They were fine paying out of pocket and now enrolling many years later, only to be very rudely surprised by these penalties. Diane.
Yeah, it's an excellent question. A lot of people, I think, are not aware about the Part D benefit and the premium that comes with delaying enrolling in it. And that obviously has a big cost. So I'm really sorry that you're in this horrible bind right now. There are two possible ways out. One is if you have other creditable coverage, meaning coverage that's the equivalent of Part D prescription drug coverage, and you can show that you had it up until the time you enrolled. It does not sound like that's your situation because you've mentioned already that you've been paying out of pocket. And I understand again why you'd be paying out of pocket, because often if you're not on a lot of drugs, that paying out of pocket is a lot less expensive than signing up for the Part D premium. However, the only other way to get around that Part D premium is if you qualify for what's called extra help. If your income is low, Medicare will pick up the cost of the premium and the premium penalty. So it is worth contacting either Medicare at 1-800-333, Medicare Right Center at 1-800-333-4114 to understand whether you might be eligible for the extra help program. At this point, I know that you may still think that you are going to, you might want to still avoid paying for Part D. And again, a lot of people who have Part D coverage find that it's less expensive to pay out of pocket for the full cost of a drug than to use your Part D coverage. And that is an issue with Part D benefits in some cases. But the good news with Medicare Part D, everybody should know, is there is an out-of-pocket maximum, which means that if you do need high-cost drugs, you will have a limit on how much you have to pay out-of-pocket. That limit is high. It's $2,100, but it's a lot lower than the cost of many, 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 many drugs that you could find at the pharmacy. So there's some good news here. And then, unfortunately, there's some bad news. You may get stuck paying a penalty for late enrollment. You can try to contest it. And again, Medicare Right Center or one of your state's health insurance assistance program can help you. But it's not something that, it's not a penalty they tend to waive.
Okay. Thank you, Diane. That is not good news for Joe. Our next question came in from a voicemail from Paul in New Jersey, who said that the salesperson for my health insurance lied to me upfront about the cost of a specific drug. Is there any action I can take against the broker or the insurance company? Louise.
So there might be. It depends on the circumstances. Your brokers, insurance brokers, are overseen by the state insurance department. That's who licenses them and oversees what they do. So you can file a complaint with the state insurance department in your state. And then most insurance companies require brokers to carry what's called errors and omissions insurance to protect against situations where a broker makes a mistake. So you can, you know, ask about this. You can talk to your state insurance department about that. It depends on where you got your coverage. If this was marketplace coverage, as we talked about earlier, marketplace open enrollment is still ongoing. So if they told you that a drug was covered or was covered with a certain out-of-pocket cost and it turned out to not be the case, now is your chance to make that right for 2026, you know, to make sure that you're in a plan that provides the coverage you need. So again, unless you are in Idaho, you have until at least January 15th to pick a plan for 2026 in the individual market. But if you want it to start January 1st, you do need to take action by today, December 15th in most states. If you are on Medicare, if you have Medicare Advantage, and that's where your drug coverage is, so Medicare open enrollment has already ended. It ended on December 7th nationwide, but there's another window coming up from January through March that is the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. And if you're on a Medicare Advantage plan, you do get one chance to switch to a different plan or to switch to original Medicare at that point, and you would be able to then buy a standalone drug plan if you switch to original Medicare. So you do have that window coming up if your current Medicare Advantage plan is not meeting your needs. Just keep that in mind. You can only make one plan change during that window. If you're on Medicare Part D as a standalone plan, that open enrollment period has ended, and there's nothing like the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period for Part D. But you can contact CMS and to explain your situation to them. See if they, you know, they can offer case by case special enrollment periods, but it really depends on the circumstances. In any scenario, whether you're talking to Medicare or whether you're talking to your employer's HR department, if this happened to be through your employer, or whether you're talking to the State Department of Insurance, it will really help if you have documentation, like maybe an email, paper trail, any sort of like reference number, any documentation that you kept showing that this error was made when you were told about your drug coverage will really be helpful in sort of making your case to get assistance with this. So I wish you all the best. I hope that you have coverage in 2026 that covers the medication you need.
Thank you, Louise. And next, a voicemail from Eileen in California, who said that when she was still with Kaiser, she was having $21, I assume, a month taken out for vision services. Now in that same area, it says Plan D, and they're taking out $24. I need to know if that's something that everybody's paying or doing. I need to contact my local Social Security office to have that removed. Diane.
So to be totally honest, I'm a little confused by the question. I'm not sure what Plan D is. There is, as we've discussed a few minutes ago, a Part D benefit. And I bet that this is about Medicare Part D and a monthly premium that you pay for your Medicare drug coverage through Kaiser. But the best solution here, since it's unclear to me and to you, is to contact Kaiser directly and say, what is this charge for? It is not likely to be vision services because Medicare doesn't cover vision services. And if you're getting it through Kaiser still, that would probably be part of the package and you wouldn't be paying extra for it if you had Medicare. But again, I'm not sure of this. And the best advice I can give you is to check with Kaiser directly.
Okay. Thank you, Diane. And we have several more questions that we will pick up in the new year because this is our holiday break. We will be back Monday, January 5th. Thank you for joining us to learn more about what's happening to our health insurance in America next year and how it affects you. Please text or call in your health insurance and healthcare questions at 202-838-6837 and we'll answer them in future episodes. Join us in 2026 for more on healthcare in America. Happy holidays, whatever holidays you celebrate. Be sure to subscribe to my channel or podcast wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Laura Packard, and this is Care Talk.
Hey, it's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating, and just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, high up MAGA guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.